program you're about to hear involves slack confidence, with parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church of subgenus, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor, and to cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Minus 1 minute, 54 seconds, and counting. Our status board indicates...
Wednesday, July 16th, 1969. Pad 39A, Kennedy Space Center, Florida. A dream of the ages was about to come true. The unbelievable countdown was on.
T-minus 1 minute, 35 seconds on the Apollo mission, the flight to land of the first men on the moon.
My colleague, CBS News correspondent Reed Collins, described the final seconds as the fulfillment of man's lunar destiny came closer.
We're down to 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. We should see fire. 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have tremendous flame out there.
And we have liftoff. She's rising. She's yawing now to clear the tower. That slight yaw.
Neil.
Now the huge tail is tapping the tower.
Big
she's
bug.
Lifting up. We have power clear. We have power clear. We're beginning to feel the first thunderous roar.
Collins.
I can see her rising now as she's going up straight into
wake
the drone
up, you
program,
bums.
Which she should be completing.
Oh, no, we
she
must have passed out last night during the onboard beer bust.
Is beginning to
wake up!
The power of it. The power of it as it goes through a slight wisp of cloud.
Holy smokes! Exploded!
The eternal wonders of space and time. The faraway dreams and mysteries of other worlds, other life, the stars, the planets. Man has been face to face with them for centuries, yet is barely able to penetrate their unknown secrets. Sometime, someday, the barrier will be pierced. Why must we wait? Why not now?
Tell you some things about the spaceship you live on, called Earth, and about some of its passengers. First, I'd like you to meet the captain.
Hi, boys.
A whore. She's a whore.
Oh, welcome to Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, beaming to you subspace from the wildly careening starship Slack. Oh, I'm your highly questionable captain, the Reverend Susie the Floozy, and don't worry. Oh, I can fly this crate and put on my eyeliner at the same time, so relax and enjoy the ride. Oh, I got that fear of a pink planet bad tonight, Seekers. And I don't think the night before Armageddon is too early to start shopping around for the best escape routes off this stinking jerkwater Yahoo planet. So tonight we've slipped the surly bonds of Earth and set solar sail to the stars here at WREK Atlanta. But oh, it's not the warm, friendly outer space that television promised back when I was a nerdy little science junkie. Oh, I fed on America's space program, beady little eyes glued to the tube for every penny any space shot, cramming space food sticks into my mouth and secretly lusting after Jules Bergman. Oh, NASA was full of guys with verbs for names like Buzz and Neil. But there are all those wacky Ruskies with names like Urinalysis. Oh, it was an era of Tang on the moon. All three flavors, too. Orange, grape, and poon. But times have changed. The concept of endless space only bores me now. And thanks to TV, I've seen more flaming methane gas giants than I care to. And America's clean-cut hero, John Glenn, is just another weaselly senator mired in the SNL scandal. Hey, and we might just run into John Glenn tonight, Seekers. While we're out flying the void, we keep passing through still-echoing radio signals, clotted clumps of our collective past forever rippling out through the cosmos. Physics isn't my strong suit, but I have a feeling tonight I'll prove that time isn't just relative. It's a senile, drooling, incontinent old uncle you just can't ditch. Oh, and don't worry, that butthead Carl Sagan was the first one we shot ass first out of the airlock.
Thank you. if the United States occupies a position of preeminence, can we help decide whether this new ocean will be a sea of peace or a new terrifying theater of war? But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Escape? Never! Nobody could!
Yeah, but nobody else is like Snake Eyes.
Even though we were all confident that somehow we could save the day, at least I was sure of it. The Cobra's commandos placed us all in the castle dungeon's original instruments of persuasion. Racks and cages are not a G.I. Joe's idea of a good time, especially when all around you there's a countdown that would, if Cobra Commander had his way, launch all of us G.I. Joes into orbit around the universe forever. The guards were coming to put us into the missiles right now as the voice came from the computer. Boy, if the Joes were going to make a move, it would have to be soon. There's something I don't like about outer space. And besides, I was getting hungry.
It's out of this world. I hope we get there soon. Stranded by Apollo 7, I'm a hungry astronaut. Left alone up here in heaven, munching what I brought.
No burgers to be bought.
I long for lunar butchers carving every kind of cut. Flanks and chops and roast and brisket, loin and tongue and butt. Meat on the moon, a barbecue tune.
It's out of this world,
I hope we get there soon. Know that they don't need to, they could all be fed.
Hands above their head.
Lift the livestock up in rockets, beam them to a better place. Pork has left the planet, pigs in outer space.
Meat on the moon, baloney balloon. It's out of this world,
I hope we get there soon.
Alien. A cowboy hat.
Alien.
They're roping calves.
Alien.
They work for cheap.
Alien.
I never need any sleep.
Alien.
Our milk and cattle. Up on the Milky Way. At night the stars don't twinkle.
Gravity is but a rumor. Move that mighty mass.
Lord, they're free at last.
Blues and oinks and squawks are muted. There's no barnyard sound. In a vacuum, you can't smell the things they leave around.
Meat on the moon, brown shiny balloon.
It's out of this world,
I can't get any power forward. There's no response.
Hold everything. Stabilizers, quick. Pull up on X, plus 20 on your Y coordinate.
Plus 20 it is, sir.
Now, full thrust on rear engine control.
But, sir, we'll plow right into that ship.
Brace yourself. Hold on. Danny, you...
Cooper, we're here to prepare you, so pay attention. You've only got a few minutes. Grissom here and Glenn and Carpenter and Shepard and Shirah have all been through this, so they can fill you in. Glenn?
Well, Coop, it's the start that's the problem. You've got to relax. The initial force takes over, and then all you have to do is guide. Shirah, you had a little trouble with the suit. Why don't you tell Coop about it?
Well, I figured that the suit was too loose. I'd recommend making sure of a really snug fit. Carpenter?
The most important thing is not to panic when you fall in the water. Just settle down and wait, and somebody will be sure to pick you up. You got it, Coop?
Well, I'm grateful for the advice, fellas, but to tell you the honest truth, I'm scared. But you all went through it, so I guess I can.
Good boy, Coop. Now, you ready?
Ready.
Okay, now get down to the dock and put on your water skis. Jackie's waiting.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't remember.
Great British explorer George Mallory, who was to die on Mount Everest, was asked why did he want to climb it. He said, because it is there. Well, space is there, and we're going to climb it. And the moon and the planets are there. And new hopes for knowledge and peace are there. And therefore, as we set sail, we ask God's blessing on the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure on which man has ever embarked.
On December the 6th, 1957, we attempt to launch a 3.5-pound sphere into orbit with our non-military rocket, Vanguard. In full view of television cameras, Vanguard lifts 5 feet from the pad, then collapses.
Whew, nice one.
In 1958, Congress wholeheartedly and frantically passes the Space Act, which establishes NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
It is the policy of the United States that activities in space should be devoted to peaceful purposes for the benefit of all mankind.
Fire.
So, Neil and Buzz, are those your names or is that what you do? Ooh, sure we came in peace. But if there had been anybody already up there, you can bet those Taipei right-stuff space cadets would have kicked their asses but good. Oh, the moon was a high-stakes game, all right. Getting there first was tantamount to planetary rule, king of the hill on a truly astronomical scale. And it wasn't just a race to ensure that America's corporate interest won out. Oh, it was much deeper and much more insidious than that, Seekers. If you believe James Shelby Downard's King Kill 33-degree theory of the Masonic conspiracy behind the moon landing. Oh, yeah, good old boys Armstrong and Aldrin were both top Masons. Buzz Aldrin even took along the two-headed eagle flag of the Knights Templar with him to the moon, and he served himself a special communion whilst on the lunar surface. The moon landing itself was the result of an alchemical working begun with the Kennedy assassination, their killing of the king ritual. And everything was designed to ultimately bring about the Masonic prophecy of making manifest all that is hidden. By bringing the prima materia, the moon rocks, to the prima terra, Earth, the Masons really rubbed the salt into the icing on the cake. And just a few days after the moon landing, the Tate-LaBianca killings occurred. Was there blood let to appease the defilement of the moon by mere humans, as some fringe dwellers have suggested? Oh, who cares? All I know is the moon's not my kind of swinging planetoid. And I've been paranoid ever since they sent out that engraved plaque on Voyager with naked humans and directions to our corner of the galaxy. And as a sage subgenius once pointed out, it may as well say, "Yoo-hoo, here we are. We wear no clothes and taste good fried." Yeah, we'll just look in on the moon, but we won't stop there. Because I need slack worse than Mars needs women. And if I can't find it in this miserable podunk solar system, I'm willing to run this starship until the airlock doors fall off of it and the exits take the hindmost.
Launching area clear. Minus 20 seconds.
Test conductor to station 5.
Station 5, go.
Test conductor to telemetry.
All the tracking stations are ready. Telemetry, go.
Test conductor to fire control.
Communications all remote. Fire control, go.
4, 3.
Stand by.
2, 1, fire.
Look what you did.
Yeah, I did that.
Dr. Von Braun, in the glow of today's Mercury success, looked toward the future.
I have always felt that man belongs in the outer space, and for this reason, our launching today was a great personal satisfaction to me. I think it will be only a humble beginning of much greater things to come. I think we can see the outlines quite clearly. After these suborbital flights, there will be orbital flights with a single man with the same Mercury capsule, but launched by an Atlas ICBM. And thereafter will come even larger spacecraft accommodating an entire crew of astronauts.
You can't be serious.
How bogus.
This man is obviously a psychotic.
And what is it that put America in the forefront of the nuclear nations? And what is it that will make it possible to spend $20 billion of your money to put some clown on the moon? Well, it was good old American know-how, that's what. As provided by good old Americans like Dr. Werner von Braun.
Gather round while I sing you of Werner von Braun, a man whose allegiance is ruled by expedience. Call him a Nazi, he won't even frown. A Nazi schmatzi, says Werner von Braun. Don't say that he's hypocritical, say rather that he's apolitical. Once the rockets are up, who cares where they come down? That's not my department, says Werner von Braun. Some have harsh words for this man of renown, but some think our attitude should be one of gratitude, like the widows and cripples in old London town, who owe their large pensions to Werner von Braun. You too may be a big hero, once you've learned to count backwards to zero. In German or English, I know how to count down. And I'm learning Chinese, says Werner von Braun.
Really, when you think about it, I realize where I have missed doing it. Up in space. That's one place I miss, and I'm seriously thinking about it, you know? All right, true. You know, I'll never forget the first time I saw the word astronaut. I didn't even know what it meant. So I took the word and I broke it down into syllables, you know, like they teach in school. Astronaut. I just figured it was some guy that wasn't getting any. But really, what is an astronaut? He's the perfect man. Our government spends all our money trying to find this great space program of us. And part of the space program is choosing this great astronaut, eliminating him through test and test and more test. And finally, we get the beautiful specimen of American manhood. Perfect physically, perfect mentally. The most beautiful thing that our country has ever created. And ladies, what do they do with him? Send him off into space when we need him right here. Why don't they send some drunken bum up there? And I don't care how perfect this man is, he has got to be nervous by the time they get him in that space suit and put him in the capsule. He has got to be nervous by the time he waits for the countdown, and then they change their mind, and he waits for some more countdowns, and then they change their mind. And believe me, no matter how perfect this man is, he has got to be nervous. And you know what happens to you when you get nervous. I want to know one thing. Where's the John on that missile? Really, have you ever seen it? They probably got a sign in front of the instrument panel reading, please do not flush while on launching pad. But believe me, if our government insists on sending this beautiful specimen of American manhood off into space, what is he going to do up there all by himself? He needs somebody to talk to. And who better than I? I mean, when you think about it, they have tested everything up there, you know. Am I right? Metals and food and clothing. But they have not as yet tested the most natural thing that's going to be needed by that astronaut on his 3-month trip to the moon. And you know what that is. And I am willing to give myself to my country for this great experiment. Oh, yes, honey, I've had basic training. In fact, I've had it everywhere. And this would be a fine thing for me to do, to thrust myself with an astronaut off into space to test the most important thing in the world. But, of course, this is going to take practice, starting here and starting now. Just think of the mess if I get up and find out I don't know how. Oh, believe me, this could really be a great event. Just think of it. The first one to do it in space. My God, I'd be famous overnight. Oh, but there are a lot of problems involved. And the biggest problem of all, you very well know, is weightlessness. Well, yeah, you can't hold him down. You gotta put a brick on his fanny with a string on it. Oh. I am just an unlaunched missile, and all I want is a chance to prove that I can fly. I am just an unlaunched missile. Won't some missile man come give me a try? And if I get to spinning round and round like a top, I can promise you I'll never, never yell stop. All you have to do for this unlaunched missile is give me a fuse that I can use to blast me off into outer space. Now there must be an admiral who'd like to get me in Canaveral. There must be a nice young prop who helped me blast my rocket off. Oh yes, there must be one in this old town who'll take me home and count me down. Someone to go hoot, hoot, and help me get my knockers up. Up in the air so that they can get their share. Oh, I know there are a lot of missiles out there that have not been launched in quite a while. But remember, girls, this is our national duty. So let's get off the launching pad and tell the world we can be had. Get our nose cones in the air and make sure that we get our share. Start the countdown, ring the bell, go out tonight and give it hell. But one word of warning, watch out for a missile fizzle. And don't let it get you down. Even the government had to try 3 times before they got theirs up. So with everything to gain and nothing to lose, I'm gonna get a fuse that I can use to blast me off into outer space.
Godspeed, John Glenn. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway.
Roger, we're programming and roll okay.
This is Friendship 7. I'll try to describe what I'm in here. I'm in a big mass of some very small particles that are brilliantly lit up like they're luminescent. I never saw anything like it. They're around the little... They're coming by the capsule, and they look like little stars, a whole shower of them coming by.
Griffin, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Roger, Neil. And we're getting a picture on the TV.
Men from the planet Earth, first step foot upon the moon.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
I'm at the foot of the ladder, and to step off the land now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And then one of those moments which might get lost in history, the first words of the second man on the moon.
Oh, that is so gay.
Shut the hell up.
Roger, Neil.
The color of the moon looks a very whitish gray, like dirty beach sand, and with lots of footprints in it.
What?
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 Now, we'll get to the details of what's around here, but it looks like a collection of just about every variety of shape, angularity, granularity, but every variety of rock you could find. The color is, there doesn't appear to be too much of a general color at all.
Magnificent desolation.
Shut up!
Roger, Neil.
Yes, the surface is fine and powdery. It does adhere like powdered charcoal to the sides of my boots.
We copy, Indigo.
So you're standing on a rock, big rock there now.
I say that the rocks are rather slippery. You have to be careful that you're leaning in the direction you want to go, otherwise you punch at the edge of that crater.
Yeah, that's
real
soft there, isn't it?
Buzz, this is Houston. You've got about 10 minutes left now prior to commencing your EVA termination activities.
You're watching how hard I have to hit this into the ground. It almost looks wet.
Shut up! Where's my bourbon?
I think that each one of us carries his own impressions of what he's seen today. I know my own impression is that it's a vast, lonely, forbidding type existence or expanse of nothing. It looks rather like clouds and clouds of pumice stone. And it certainly would not appear to be a very inviting place to live or work.
Get out of here!
Hey!
Neil, Buzz, and Mike.
Please kill me.
I want you to know that I think I'm the luckiest man in the world. And I say this not only because I have the honor to be president of the United States, but particularly because I had a telephone call yesterday. Three of the greatest ladies and most courageous ladies in the whole world today, your wife. I gotta let you in a little secret. I made a date with them. Particularly because I have you fellows from the moon.
Let's get out of here. I'm not shaking that guy's hand.
And I'll.
Standing there in that magnificent desolation, a quarter of a million miles from home, Neil Armstrong read the commemorative plaque carried from Earth on the landing gear of their lunar module.
Azak, Azuri, Galanus, Maledictu, Nosferamus, and Principe.
It has the signature of the President of the United States.
It's a conspiracy.
Oh! Oh!
All set, Ace?
Right.
Lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
Take your positions for the pull out of orbit.
Sir?
Hmm?
Is that all there is to it? I mean, I never realized space travel was so...
Cut and dried? No, son. That isn't all there is. I played down the operational side of it deliberately to point up something else. Ready? 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
This is Radio Moscow.
This is Radio Moscow. The Soviet Union has successfully launched a second space satellite into Earth orbit. The Sputnik weighs 1,100 pounds and is carrying a dog named Laika. Radio signals from the Sputnik indicate that Laika is alive and well.
This voiceless cry of mercy as this satellite spans the earth should be long remembered as a symbol of the torture the animal world must go through. And I don't mean to be facetious at all, but something to be remembered is that there's a female up there circling Mother Earth.
Dream on, bitch.
October 4th, 1957. The sound of Sputnik 1, a sound heard round the world, followed less than a month later by Sputnik 2, carrying the first creature from Earth into space, Laika, the dog, whose heartbeat radioed back to Earth sounded like this.
Laika. Smoke Laika cigarettes, made of the best Eastern tobaccos, known far and wide for their fine flavor.
This beautiful and yet ugly now generation has vast knowledge of many things that other generations never had. Words have come into their vocabulary that was unheard of 12, 15, 20 years ago. Words like space travel and retro rockets and a generation gap that somehow exists. Terminologies that seem to flow into their hearts and minds that's been born and bred in this so-called now generation.
Look out, world, here I come. Free and loose and ready for fun. No turtle dovin', just want lovin'. I'm gonna get me some. Do it now, now's the time. Do it now while I'm in my prime. Can't take it with me, and that's very clear. Gonna use it all up while I'm still here. Don't care if it's motels or in parked cars, out on the grass, out under the stars. I always leave them with a great big smile, cause I do it like it's going out of style. Now in the end I'll make history. I will do it for all to see. Inside of a nose cone, the astronaut and me are gonna do it on worldwide TV. Yeah, do it now, now's the time. Do it now while I'm in my prime. Can't take it with me, and that's a shame. Gonna use it all up, I won't complain. Gonna go to Washington, D.C. to check my voltage with the FCC. And if I'm lucky, then maybe one day I'll get to do it with John F. Kennedy. Hey, hey. Gonna do it with John F. Kennedy. Everything you do, they've got a tax. Now because of me, there's a man who checks to try to find a way to put a tax on sex, sex, sex. Don't tax sex, Mr. Kennedy. Peace work. By the inch? Hey! Everybody join me without delay. Use it up, that's what I'll say. Warm up the cold ones, excite the old ones. Only takes two to play, play, play. Do it now. Do it now, 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 now. Everybody! Do it now!
Can we have some booze up here so we can sort of take it easy? We were talking so much about doing it in outer space. I think it's important. Anyway, what do you really think about me giving myself to this experiment? I thought about it. I've written a letter to Kennedy in regards to it. I have not received an answer, of course. I use Lois Lipschitz as a sign-off. But really, I do think it's important. I really do. I think it's important that I go up there and help that astronaut on this test. It's a special test. And after all, if we do it, I will be ahead of the Russians on one thing, that's for sure. Oh, yeah, that's true. Don't forget, honey, they got two fellas up there trying to contact each other. Isn't that too much?
Will we have time to explore any before returning to the ship?
Afraid not this trip. Conditions are too unsettled. And we should help the men all we can with unloading and everything.
Oh, leave that to us, Colonel. Besides, you should devote some time to exercise after 8.5 months in space. Walking around will accustom you to the gravity and allow you to see something of our landscape.
Thank you, sir. That's great. Is the base near those mountains over there?
Where's that? Uh-oh, bad luck. There goes my Chamber of Commerce speech. Better fasten in, quickly.
What is it, Commander?
A sandstorm, I'm afraid, which could be treacherous on Mars. What the lieutenant observed off to the side here is a solid wall of red sand. The low gravity will raise one of these several miles into the atmosphere. I'm sending a radar.
Sir, wouldn't it be possible to fly over?
Possible, yes. But our fuel limitation makes it imperative that I drive for the base. The remaining distance isn't great, but it's catching up to us in a big hurry.
What can we do to help, Commander?
Nothing, really. The dram will help, though. Here, swallow a couple of these, both of you. And hang on. Here she comes.
Sir, the instruments are all crazy.
How close are we getting to the ground?
Hard to tell. Getting buffeted in all directions. Our stabilizers are holding. We should be making headway.
What was that?
Now the cargo is starting to shift. We didn't exactly prepare for this, but it should hold.
millions of miles with this gear, and here we stand to lose it in the last 50.
That won't be all we'll lose if it goes.
Look ahead. It's getting lighter. I can see part of the sky.
You'll be thankful it isn't the other direction.
Not too soon. There went the first of the retaining wires. Most of the storm is behind us now, and we aren't too far off base. Keep your harness fastened while I set for landing.
And now, a scene from next week's exciting adventure, the giant marine clam.
What in blue blazes are you guys up to? Rehearsing for a circus or something?
Strapped safe to open up now, sir.
Hold it.
Yes. Yeah. The pressure reading outside your door area is 14 pounds normal. The bumpers are holding okay. We'll set foot directly into the airlock, close and equalize again, and then shake hands with our lifeguard.
The f*** are you talking about?
In this picture, gentlemen, the water's rising in there. Carol and Happy are helpless without their helmets. Just a matter of seconds now, the airlock will be closed. So what do you say? Do you talk?
No.
No! Please don't!
Be sure to see what happens when Buzz Corey matches wits with Agent X to save Happy and Carol's lives and encounters the giant marine clam. Next week on Space Patrol.
Who could blame it for not wanting to stay? It wasn't made to feel very welcome. We laughed at its flying saucers. Who needed them? But it and all the other its tried so hard to get with us, to be light for itself alone. It came from outer space with love in its heart. It was so sad.
Venus.
Huh?
It's Uranus.
Venus.
No, Uranus!
Why not? We've bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I said Uranus, you fool!
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear the other thing?
What other thing?
Uranus!
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Who I am?
The digital dentist.
Yes, and do you know what time it is?
Time for science.
Yes, and today the digital dentist will explain the creation of the universe.
Yay!
Once upon a time, the universe didn't exist. Oh. Yes, those were dark days, so to speak. There were billions and billions of little teeth all clustered together in a big mouth. And then one day, the mouth formed this funny little smirk, and suddenly there was a big bang.
Kaboom!
Yes, kaboom. And all the teeth went flying out in all directions.
Yay!
And they formed galaxies and solar systems and constellations and all sorts of shiny things.
Whoopee!
Yes, all the stars you see in the heavens are actually teeth.
What?
And that's what made the universe.
You little...
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour, the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light-years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe.
They're taking off from Cape Canaveral.
Oh!
They're taking off from Cape Kennedy.
Cape Canaveral! Cape Kennedy! Cape Canaveral! Cape Kennedy! Cape Canaveral!
The universe itself keeps on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
Looking for a place to meet or eat or just blow your brain? Then come to the universe!
The universe is out of this world, far out, sound, sights, and other mind-blowing delights, all at...
The universe!
This Friday and Saturday.
You can group to the sound of three great bands.
Upstairs, it's the electric sound of...
Laxative.
Downstairs, from Brooklyn, Joey Suede and the Carnations.
Plus the Latin soul of the Shaft of Light.
All happening at the universe. Do your thing in six big rooms. The electric ballroom.
The meditation room.
The end of the world
the
room.
The pizza freakout room.
The men's room.
And the ladies' room. All happening for you this and every weekend at the universe. 212 Brooklyn Boulevard in the Bronx. If you're under 18, do your thing somewhere else.
The universe is out of this
world.
Go down!
beer cans on the moon. There's a fear of the firing squads, and there's a fear of the pizza stands. Honky-tonks gazing through the dirty plastic windows, sipping on their tree frog of beer, looking, looking.
Friends, he's off to dance with the Moon Maids. Maybe on his next record, he'll bring one back with him.
Well, there you go, Seekers. Quick credits for tonight's interstellar fiasco include Manor Astro Man with taxidermist surf and live transmissions from Uranus, Fred Schneider with His Planet's a Mess, Meet on the Moon by the Bobs, Tom Lehrer sang about Wernher von Braun, Rusty Warren was there with Rusty Warren in Orbit and Rusty Warren Do It Now, Like in the Cosmonauts with Moondog from Surf She Right, Monty Python with the Galaxy Song, King Yusnevich and his Yusnevich Tones with Out of This World, Ed Sanders and the Hemp Tones singing about looking at the beer cans on the moon. Plus, we've been dodging deadly cosmic rays from Captain Entropy by Bruce Hawk, First Family by Dowd and Meter, G.I. Joe and the Castle of Doom, Jimmy Swaggart, Adventures in Sound and Space, Space Patrol, Ruby 2 with Time for Science with the Digital Dentist, and the Universe Club bit was by Ray Dariano. And if you'd like more information about the Church of the Subgenius, it's as close as subgenius.com. Good night, Seekers.